Country Pop FM.
You know what that means? It's Almanac time on Bob FM. This is Edutainment. Edutainment, education, little entertainment, and whatever else, what other emotions that the almanac evokes. Yeah. Bring them on. Let them go. Yeah. Let
some
those
laughter,
tears fly.
Some tears, yes.
We laughed and we cried. It's up right. And down. It's a seesaw affair. And a pair of tickets to the Bandit Big Rig Series Elko Speedway. These are big rigs powered by biodiesel, presented by Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, Saturday, August 25th. And that'll be at the Elko Speedway. If you want to win a pair of these, just listen here. Listen to the almanac, listen to everything, and then we will have an almanac quiz at the end. Just like anything, you'd have a discussion with your teacher if you were in class.
Right.
And then at the end, he or she may or may not say that there'll be a quiz at the end of this. It'd be nice to know. And we're letting you know.
Yeah.
We're letting the listeners know. Teachers didn't always say whether there'd be a quiz or not.
There'd be a pop quiz.
In fact, they would even say maybe there'll be a quiz. Maybe there won't be a quiz. One of our teachers called them quizzies. There was the test, and then there was the quizzy. And then he'd make a joke about testy in there, too. Those are the 80s.
Yeah.
We could do that back
right,
then.
Right, right.
Now then, parents would be on the phone going, you know, that was a better time.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I'm glad I grew up in the non-politically correct era.
Ditto.
Today on the Almanac, before we do anything, we have an Almanac salute.
Oh.
They don't pay me to fish. They pay me to be tough like an anvil.
Down, anvil. Down.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart. We are saying goodbye to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, one half of the Hart Foundation, him and Bret Hart. They made up one of the most formidable WWF tandems there in the 80s and into the 90s. He died due to a medical condition or something. They confirmed it yesterday.
Yeah, haven't really talked about what he died of.
He was 63, but really in wrestler years, that's like 189. That's 189 to you and me, as Lauren Green would say.
Right.
Wrestler years and rapper years are the same. So
yeah,
if you die at
really
63,
are.
It's like 189. So Jim the Anvil Neidhart, that's a long life for a wrestler. And we remember you today with a Bob Almanac salute. Today, Tuesday, August 14th, 226th day of the year, 139 days left to go. This date, 1888, there was a patent on this date for the electric meter. They could now keep track of how much electricity you use because of the meter. That was invented by Oliver B. Schallenberger.
Nice work.
Do you remember the old meters that had the dials on them? You had like five dials.
Yes.
And you needed an engineering degree from MIT to know how to read those.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
And then eventually the companies realized, well, we'll just give you the meters, the dials on your bill. And then you just put where the line is, because nobody knows how to read them.
Right.
I do, because I worked for my local electric co-op. I read meters.
Yes, you did.
For a summer. I did that for a living for several months.
Was that East Central
and
Electric?
And I was very good at it. It's East Central Energy now,
East
Neil.
East Central, okay.
They do more than just electric.
Ooh.
But, so that was kind of the whole deal. And how about do you even read your own meter anymore? No, they just drive around. It's all electronic, and they pick up the radio signal off of your meter.
Sure.
So you don't even have to read your own. It's the dumbing down of America. We dumbed it down the actual meter that we read, because we couldn't read it. We don't know how to do four-way stop, and we don't know how to do electric meters.
Yeah, they're both. Well, one seems more difficult to me than the other.
But. How many kilowatt hours are you using these days, Neil? Using a lot of kilowatt hours?
I think I'm using my share.
Okay, that's good. 1923 this date.
Felix the cat, the wonderful, wonderful cat. Whenever he gets in a fix, he reaches into his bag of tricks. Felix.
Do you think any of those cats that are on that Greek island are named Felix?
I would hope so.
Felix the cat debuted on this date. That's the cartoon from like the 50s, but the actual comic strip debuted this date, 1923.
Mm-hmm.
1935, FDR was doing something.
This social security measure gives at least some protection to 30 million of our citizens who will reap direct benefits through unemployment compensation, through old age pensions, and through increased services for the protection of children and the prevention of ill health.
Social Security Act. Social Security was born on this date.
Wow.
It was written, signed by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1935. It's still going.
Yeah, 83 years later.
They keep predicting the death of Social Security.
Right.
They keep predicting it, and it just keeps on a ticking.
I just got a letter from the Social Security because, you know, I'm getting old, and now it starts to show me how much I would get if I retire in, you know, 2 years and 5 years.
And what's it showing? You're going to be living high in the hog or what?
You're
going to have a mansion on the hill?
More like a cardboard box under the bridge.
Living in a van down by the river. That's what it shows you down.
Right.
That was in 35. In 36, it was the first year that they had basketball in the Olympics at the Berlin Games.
Okay.
And in the gold medal game, the U.S. defeated Canada, that basketball powerhouse.
Right.
19-8.
Wow.
They played outdoors on some lawn courts, and it was raining.
Must have been tough.
Little muddy. You couldn't dribble the ball, so it was all passing.
Well.
1936.
Love it.
And then 1945, VJ Day.
I deem this reply a full acceptance of the Potsdam Declaration, which specifies the unconditional surrender of Japan. In the reply, there is no qualification.
Two atomic bombs later, Japan finally gives up.
Yep.
And here he has Truman announcing that this date, 1945, Victory in Japan Day. It's VJ Day. People at MTV think it's video. They're celebrating Nina Blackwood and those
Downtown
others, the other
Julie
VJs.
Brown.
Yes, that was in 45 and 53. How about let's salute the wiffle ball today?
Oh, I love it.
Hey, kids, here's Whitey Ford, ace pitcher for the world champion Yankees. Here on his day off, he shows you the secret of Major League pitching with the original wiffle ball. It's the ball with the holes on one side.
All the other Yankees on their day off were out playing golf, and Whitey Ford was showing you how to throw the wiffle ball.
The old-fashioned with just, the holes
on
one
side. Exactly. That's like Kleenex. Everything that's been called a wiffle ball that's got holes in it, but the real one is the one with the holes on the side.
Right.
I mean, I remember we had ones that had holes all over them, like Swiss cheese.
Right.
We called that wiffle ball, but I guess technically that's not a wiffle ball.
No, it's a different type of a thing.
David Mullaney Sr. invented the wiffle ball for his 13-year-old son who couldn't catch, and he kept getting black eyes, so he had to come up with a softer ball.
Huh. Well, there you go.
I mean, mother invention. Invention comes out of necessity, right?
Yeah, there it was.
So, 53, it was the old wiffle ball. 1959, the American Football League. There had been several leagues before that known as the American Football League.
Right.
This was the most successful of those. 1959, the AFL organized with franchises in New York, Dallas, Los Angeles, Denver, Houston, and Minneapolis.
Oh.
We were slated to get American Football League team, Max Winter and a group. They had tried to get NFL. NFL said, no, we didn't want to expand. And so the AFL guys like Lamar Hunt and them, okay, NFL, if you're not going to let us expand into your league, we're going to make our own league.
Sure.
And Max Winter had the Minnesota franchise, and what, the NFL got worried, and then they went to all those cities and those owners and then offered them NFL expansion franchises. Mm. And Max Winter and his crew said, okay, we'll go to the NFL.
Yeah.
And the Vikings were born.
That's interesting.
But it was the New York Titans, the Dallas Texans, the L.A. Chargers, and, of course, the Broncos and the Oilers.
Sure.
Were the first ones that were granted on this date. 1979, rainbow seen in northern Wales. This rainbow lasted for 3 hours.
A long time.
A 3 hour. It's like an all-day sucker, Neil.
Right.
3 hour rainbow. It had to do something with being in a northern hemisphere this time of year, a lot of sunlight. That had to be it.
Something.
Because of the curvature of the earth, etc.
Maybe Megan could have solved that for us.
We might. Well, yeah, it's too late. We're not talking to her, and I probably will forget.
Right.
Uh-oh, that's hit well. And Mac looking up. And Don, number 400. He had to wait a while.
There's Jim Cott calling Twins baseball on the old tube, 1991. David West, remember him? We got him in the Viola trade.
Yep.
He served up number 400 to Dave Winfield, who at that time was playing for the California Angels. A couple of years later, he would get his 3,000th hit with the Twins. And that was at the Metrodome, number 400 for St. Paul native Dave Winfield.
David West gave up a few gopher balls.
Yeah, he's kind of a sidearm lefty.
Yeah. And a little bit of pop, but too hittable.
He never, yeah, we thought that he might be one of the better pitchers that we'd get out of that trade, and right. It just didn't quite turn around. It ended up being Tappan and Aguilera, of course.
Right.
1995, Shannon Faulkner, remember that name? She tried and worked so hard, all the trouble and all the litigation, all the lawyers and everything to get into the Citadel.
Yeah, then she...
Then she quit less than a week later.
Yeah,
so
way to
go. So she became a Citadel student. She basically did it just to prove she could do it, and then when she got in there, he goes, I really didn't want to do it. What do you think of that?
I was not...
No.
I remember that vividly.
Yes.
I remember, you are joking me. I was not happy with that whole situation.
That was in 95, and in 97...
The jury recommends unanimously the following sentence... Death.
It's death for Tim McVey. Bulletin, CBS News. Death verdict for Tim McVey.
Thank you for chiming in there, Dan Rather. Death for Timothy McVey, sentenced on this date for the Oklahoma City Federal Building bombing, 1997. Took a couple of years because the bombing was what? Was it 95? 94, 95, somewhere in there. Yeah, 95. So it took a couple of years.
Yeah.
And 97,
he
the sentencing.
Got death.
He did.
Yes.
He was executed. Let's
right.
move on to birthdays now.
Darling, if you want me to be closer to you, get closer to me.
One of my favorite albums.
They're both kind of on the beach, right?
Yeah.
They're out in the desert or something. Who's celebrating? Is it Crofts or is it Seals? Who is it today? It's
Dash
Crofts. I like that name. Somebody name
Dash.
Their kid Dash, would
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Please.
It's a great name.
$20 in deals on radio bucks for any Dash in the next week. Dash Crofts of Seals and Crofts, of course.
Summer Breeze
is a good song. Hummingbird.
Yeah.
And Diamond Girl. 78 Dash Crofts today. David Crosby, he's had a pretty good music career. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He was in the Birds. I think he didn't he have a child with Melissa Etheridge?
Love child,
through
artificial.
Artificial. In vitro is what we like to call it. David Crosby is 77. Country singer Connie Smith. Hello, Connie. Hello.
Once a day. All day long.
Connie is sputtering a little bit. Well, after all, she is 77.
Right.
Married to
Marty Stewart.
Right.
Who's
several years her junior.
Well, about 18 years her junior.
Is that all?
I think Marty's my age.
Once a day, Connie Smith doing her thing on Total Country Bob FM. You know, there was a Steve Martin guy. He liked to do his thing, of course.
Because I am a wild and crazy.
You know, he was huge as far as a stand-up artist.
Yes.
And then he just kind of gave up stand-up.
Yes.
Sometime in the 80s because he had so many other talents and he had a lot more money to be made when it came to movies. Steve Martin.
Yeah, and he's a fine banjo player.
He is very good, and he has been his whole life.
Yes.
Steve Martin is 73 today. Susan St. James.
And for an old, ugly white woman, you give me a tougher fight than Joe Frazier.
Listen, Allie, you heavyweight chump. Just because you're so disagreeable, we're just going to have to go down to Wong's and retrieve those cufflinks. That's all there is to it.
But, Kate, you talk more than Howard Cosell.
Oh, that was supposed to be Kate and Allie. That's supposed to be the Kate and Allie clip. I went with Kate and Ali.
Ah, different.
Oh, man. Big mistake. Susan St. James from Kate and Allie. That was Kate and Ali. That's Martin Short and Billy Crystal as Kate Hepburn and Muhammad Ali.
That was fantastic.
Saturday Night Live skit, which is just classic. Kate and Ali. I prefer Kate and Ali over Kate and Allie, so I guess that mistake actually worked out pretty good.
But Susan St. James, what was the... She was in
McMillan
the...
McMillan
and White. Yeah, with Rock
Hudson.
Hudson, yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Susan St. James, 72, Huggy Bear.
He asked me to keep an eye on that Ferguson dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, word from the street is that he sweats ice water. He's mean, clean, and allergic to green. Unless it's the kind that comes in his regular police pay envelope.
Oh, he was the informant for Starsky and Hutch.
Huh.
Huggy Bear from
yes,
the TV show.
Right.
Snoop Dogg played Huggy Bear in the movie. Antonio Fargas, Huggy Bear himself, is 72. Speaking of wrestlers, he was in this studio earlier this summer. Backlund. Bob Backlund, Princeton, Minnesota native. He now lives out in Connecticut. He settled there. That's where WWF is based, of course. He ran for Congress. And he was in. He's got a new book. I have that book. I'm going to be reading that book when I get down to back to reading books and not waiting for the movie. Bob Backlund, longtime WWF champ.
Mm-hmm.
He may have held the belt as long as anybody.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
69, babyface kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he turned bad at one point in time, and that's every wrestler wants to turn bad.
Yes.
Every wrestler wants to turn bad at least once, and I think just about every wrestler has at least once. Gary Larson is 68 today. He's the Far Side. Love the Far Side.
Yeah,
I follow him on Twitter now. His irreverent humor is fantastic. Brad's wearing his glasses today. He must be getting real serious.
Yeah.
Mark Fidrich is 64 today. The Bird.
The Bird.
Fizzled out after a few years, had some injury issues. Yeah. How about Jack Hay?
So who's the lucky day tonight?
Derek. He's a professional wrestler, Mary. I don't want to say he's a hunk, but if you connect the freckles on his back, it spells macho.
Macho, macho man, maybe. Ooh. She's named Jack A. Harry, dating the macho man.
Wow.
Jack A. from the show 227 is 62. For our car driver, race driver fans, racing fans, NASCAR fans, Rusty Wallace is the big 6'2 today.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one with curls.
Cindy, did you do that?
No, and please don't ask me who did. I'm not going to tell on my mommy.
Susan Olson, the cute one, the one in curls. She's 50. Can you believe that Cindy Brady is 56 today?
Hard to believe.
So who would you rather date? Cindy Brady or Halle Berry?
Huh. As Dick Vitale would say, that's NC, baby. No contest.
Halle Berry is 52. Mila Kunis, 35.
Dad, how could you be okay with Mom parading herself around like this? I mean, she's half naked. It makes all women look bad.
Meg, who let you back in the house?
There she is as the voice of Meg. Mila Kunis.
Yeah,
she was
right
on that 70s show and, of course, so many different movies, but she is the voice of Meg. Almost kind of a hidden fact there. Mila Kunis is 35, and she's in that most recent movie with Kate McKinnon called The Spy Who Dumped Me. It's in theaters now, Neil.
Okay. Very good. Gone but not forgotten. The guy who gave us the Boy Scouts of America, he founded the organization. He was naturalist Ernest Thompson Seton, who was born
things
in this day.
Things have changed a little bit.
Yes, they have.
Since
in the Boy
Thomas
Scout.
Seton, right. To Ernest Thomas Seton's day,
right.
Huh?
Yep. Born on this day, 1860. You remember the fabulous baseball poem, Casey at the Bat?
The he struck
Casey
out, didn't he?
He struck out, yeah, yeah.
Very swing and a miss.
Somewhat Sano-like. Ernest Thayer.
Wiffle ball.
Is the guy who...
Whiff, that's what they call it, whiff.
Whiff is the guy who wrote that poem, and he was born on this day, 1863. Tony Award-winning actress Alice Ghostly is celebrated, well, would have celebrated a birthday today. Born on this day, 1926.
Here she is from Bewitched.
Due to a clash of personalities, I have lost 5 jobs in the past 4 weeks. A clash of personalities over what? Well, my general incompetence, my inedible cooking, and my nervous habit of breaking whatever I touch.
She's a pretty good house. She's no Ann B. Davis,
right.
But there she is on Bewitched, and that was her first appearance on Bewitched as a housekeeper. They loved her so much, then they wrote in an actual character for her. Remember, Cousin Alice.
Yep. She was also had a role in Designing Women. In the movie The Graduate, Alice Ghostly, 1926.
And Grease.
She was in Grease.
She was the mechanic. She's the one who fixed up Grease Lightning.
Yep. Baseball Hall of Famer, longtime manager of the Baltimore Orioles. He loved the 3-run homer, and he was not afraid to get in a little bit of a rhubarb.
The first thing you do is get right up in their face, you point the finger. Then if you can't get close enough, you turn the hand around and kick some dirt. And then if he's missed a strike, you get over here and you put dirt all over the thing. You throw the hat down, you pick it up, you throw it, and then you're so bad, you throw him out of the game. You're out of here.
Showing Bob Uecker how to get into it, a little rhubarb.
Nobody did it better. I mean, go YouTube some Earl Weaver tantrums on the baseball field. He was the best. Earl Weaver, born in this day, 1930. They're gone, but not forgotten.
Here's the Almanac Quiz, Bandit Big Rig Series, Elko Speedway. It's a pair of tickets coming up, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the 25th. And today's question is, Mark Fidrich is 64. What was his nickname?
Sure.
I said it. it was because he looked like a certain Sesame Street character is why they gave him this this nickname. And then he appeared, was it on Time Magazine or Sports Illustrated with this particular character? There was a magazine cover. Yeah. There was a magazine cover with him with
he
this
embraced
character.
It.
Oh, he did. He did. Mark Fidrick, 64. What was his nickname? 763-450-0100. 763-450-0100. I hear you mumbling over there. Are you going to add something?
No.
Okay. You just made a noise.
I was going to add the phone number, and you had it all. So.
You wanted to. Here's your opportunity. What's that phone number again?
763-450-0100.
All right. We'll take calls. We're not taking texts for this. You have to be a caller at that number. 763-450-0100. Good luck. Caller with the first correct answer. You're going to win on Bob.
There's a reason for the sunshine.